Chapter 13. We are still in the 13th chapter. We're going to have the second last installment. Next week we're going to finish it up. Today we're going to look at verses 15 to 22. How many of you have learned a few things so far going to Nehemiah? Okay. It's a wonderful book and it just teaches a lot about leadership. And how many would like to say we can hopefully still learn a few things about leadership? Nehemiah was a man of God who did not take anything that was against God. He was so razor-sharply focused on what God wanted him to do. And based upon his reactions to when things didn't go according to God's word, we know that Nehemiah knew the scriptures. How do we know? Daniel said that he found out during the captivity, that there are 70 years to be determined. He didn't say an angel showed up. He didn't say I got into a vision. He said, I read the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wrote. And if Daniel had access to Jeremiah, Nehemiah also had access to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was the prophet who was telling the people, if you are not changing your rebellious behavior in God's presence, I tell you what's going to happen. And so Nehemiah knows, this we went through together. We were in slavery. After 70 years, God sent the first patch back, the second patch, and then Nehemiah sent the last one, 100 years later. And he said, don't you think that we should have learned a lesson? And now I'm coming back to Jerusalem, and what do I find? The very thing God said not to do, you are doing. And so he was very adamant about it, and as we learned last Sunday, Nehemiah had no tolerance for unreliable people. This week we're going to find out that Nehemiah had absolutely no tolerance for people who violate the Sabbath. Now let me explain something this morning right off the bat, because we're going to go into a deep study. Are you ready for a deep study? We're not going to go superficial stuff which you normally hear from the pulpits. This is not a church for superficiality. We're going to give you some depth inside, which makes you see God for who he truly is. You say, well, we are Christians. We are not under the Sabbath law. Absolutely. By the way, Sabbath is simply, an English pronunciation of the Hebrew word Shabbat. And if you would look at the word, you can see then, if you have it in your English Bible, it says Sabbath, and there is a S-A-B-B-A-T-H. But the H should be on the front, after the S, and that makes it Shabbat. That's all. The word meaning has never changed. Just if you hear somebody say, Sabbath, you say, no, Shabbat. It's okay. Both of them are fine. Since you are not officially reading and speaking Hebrew, we don't need to go there. So, let me give you first a historical background. So, you have your Bible ready? Okay. And we quickly read to Nehemiah 13, and then we go to a historical background of the Shabbat, or Sabbath, so that you understand why Nehemiah was so determined that this is not going to be repeated what they did earlier on. Here, verse 15. In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day when they sold food. Tyrians also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. Then I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this evil thing that you are doing? Profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers act in this way? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. Then the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. But I warned them and said to them, why do you lodge outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come and guard the gates to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember this also in my favor, O my God, and spare me according to the greatness of your steadfast love. There's a lot of stuff in there, which we're going to debone after I give you the background. Let's go quickly to Exodus chapter 20. Remember, Exodus is when God's people were delivered from the Egyptian bondage. Moses sent back, you to bring them back here where God met Moses earlier. And he said, and then I will tell you how you can be blessed by me. How many of you would like to get that from God? I'm going to get it to you. This is what I want you to do, because this is not for my good. What I'm going to tell you is for your own good. Most people don't know. They think the Bible is always about, you know, like zoos, you know. If you don't do something, there you get sapped. No, no, no. God did all these things so you and I can live freely. And let me quickly insert a couple of thoughts for the 21st century. Most of you are worn out, never having enough, getting sick, getting tired, having enough of the world, because you violate what God has laid out for you. That's simple. I told many times to people, they said, well, I overslept. I said, listen, you don't get it. God said that the rest day starts Saturday night, not Sunday morning. He said it for a purpose. So when your evening on Saturday night should not be on TV. Your evening Saturday night should be running around in the world. It should be a family gathering at home where you expectantly look forward for the next day when we get together with brothers and sisters and see the blessings of the Lord. Amen. See, this is laid out for God, by God, for you and me. He knows how we need. How many of you get 2 o'clock in the morning to bed on Sunday morning, 2 o'clock, and then you come to church and you're done? You get nothing. Your mind is somewhere else. So this is not God's fault. This is our decision. So you can make it the way you want it. For me and my house, we do it God's way. And I tell you what, I can never wait till Sunday morning comes. And that's an honest truth. I think this is the greatest day where we can get together. It could be any other day. It doesn't have to be Sunday. But this is the day where most of you have off. So let's get together. Let's make that a very special day. Here's in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Holy simply means separated for a very specific purpose. That's what that means. Separate that day for a very specific purpose. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, male servants or female servants, your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, to see the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Here's one thing when we read the scriptures. When you read Exodus, you immediately recognize that the Sabbath is connected to God's creative work. So we would have to go all the way back to Genesis, correct? So, the Sabbath day, the observance, involves the affirmation that God is the creator and sustainer of the world. Let me bring it to you very clearly. It's not difficult to understand. When we don't want to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, but we tell God that we do not trust that he can provide in 6 days. That simple. And then we go to the doctor because everything shuts down. I have never in my entire life, and I've been traveling in the world, have seen a society that is so dependent on medical doctors. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I went to see this week an optometrist thinking maybe I need to get one day some glasses. He did a checkup on me. And to my detriment, I could read everything. So I said, yeah, I only have problems right here. He said, yeah, you're in good shape. You don't need glasses. He said, if I would prescribe glasses, I would cheat you. I said, no, I don't want to cheat you. I said, thank you, doc. I see you in 10 years. He goes, what? I said, I go every 10 years once. When I lost last time my primary doctor, because when you don't go for 5 years for a checkup, they just take you off the list. And so 12 years later, you call in and say, I would like to see once my doctor, and see which doctor. And then I mentioned the name, and they said, you're not on the list. I said, they put me down. Oh, that's not going to go that way. I said, yes, it will. Just tell the doctor that I'm ready for a checkup. Every 10 years. He said, well, Pastor, you're a very specific specimen. Nope. Nope. I learned a long time ago, this is the book by which we live. When I tell my doctors, hey, I have never had medication. He goes, what? I said, have you ever wrote a prescription for me? No. I said, I don't take any medication. I do what my Lord tells me. Resting for your body is one of the key ingredients to be healthy. Let me say it again. Resting your body according to God's word is one of the key ingredients to be healthy. But oh man, why do you think we have the English word restless? You can interpret that for yourselves. But the Jewish people had a lot more in common, and you and I have a lot more in common than just the basic things I give you. This is just practical application to make your head think. Remember the Sabbath. When God says that, it meant that the Jewish people identified with God's work in the 7 days of creation. So let me give that again for a very simple application. You'll be here for 70 minutes this morning, so I have that time. If you are claiming to be a Christian and you're an evolutionist, you cannot possibly be a believer. Very clear. God created, and our identity and the Sabbath and the rest which God has ordained for you and me to have is directly linked to his creativity in the beginning of the 6 days. You say, well, you know, it says in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it separate for a purpose, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Needless to say, how many of you know, God did not rest because he was tired. So that word rest must have a different meaning. This is how you read the Bible. Okay, here's God Almighty, all-powerful, and it says rest. For us, rest means ceasing to do something. We stop. God never had to stop because he said, oh man, I'm exhausted. So we're going to look at a Hebrew word later on that explains what that really means for you and me, because in the Hebrew words, in the original language, it's so much plugged in there. How many of you like it? So then to Exodus 31, we find out, for the God-fearing Jew, keeping the Sabbath holy is called a mitzvah. That means a duty. It's a duty before God. The Old Testament takes Sabbath observance so seriously that if you violated it, you got killed. Can you imagine? If that were, aren't you glad we're under the grace of God right now? Whew. Most of you would not be here otherwise, including me. But there's more in the Bible regarding the Sabbath. The Sabbath is an affirmation of Israel's identity. The words of Moses, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15 this afternoon, demonstrate however much its rhythm reflects the order of God's creation. So every time we take a day off, separate for a different purpose, we affirm our identity in God, and we affirm God's identity to us, that He made that day for you and me. Not the other way around. Jesus comes along and said, once the Pharisees challenged him, his disciples were eating on the Sabbath, and he said, the Sabbath was not made for God. Do you know the rest? The Sabbath was made for man. God doesn't need the rest. You need the rest. I created you that way. If you want to function properly, do it that way. Israel's keeping of the Sabbath was a reminder of her very identity as a people liberated from slavery. This is why connected to the Exodus. How many of you have been set free from your slavery? Why are we not celebrating it? Once a week. Once a week, we're taking a day separated for the purpose to celebrate that we have been set free. Amen. You know, another reason in American churches, we are very unhappy people. In general, do you know why? We forget what God has done for us. We forget that He set us free. We have a tough time to trust Him. I firmly believe with all my heart, the best time to be learning to trust is now. It's not too late. It's now. We're going to need it. Believe me. I tell you that. Not going to scare you. But you better learn to trust the Lord. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is in God's hands. So, when you get delivered out of slavery, don't you think that's a cherished gift from God? That's something very special. So the Sabbath is a day of rest, a day of worship, given us as a gift so we can stay away from that restless condition of slavery. The prohibition of work extended to all living in Israel, include slaves, animals, everybody. So I was curious. When I grew up, I told you that many times from the pulpit. At 5 o'clock, all the stores closed in Switzerland. So I said to my wife this week, hey, text quickly your younger sister and find out if they still do it. And you know what came back? Nothing has changed. She said, actually, it was not 5 o'clock. She said, 4 p.m., everything stops. All the stores are closed. Wow. There may be secularists. They maybe go for money and paychecks. But you know what? They learned one thing. We need rest. We need rest. And we, the American people, are worn out because of it. Listen to the prophet Isaiah 58. Verses 13 to 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God says, if you are going to do it, and you set that away for the purpose to be separated from the restless society around you, and take that day out, He said, I will take care of you. If you don't, you have to take care of yourselves. Wow. Well, let me tell you something. The Sabbath day is a day of joy. It's a day of celebration. And the joy which I'm talking about is more than just the absence of sorrow. The Sabbath is more than just a cessation of labor. You know, you say, well, okay, I stop working. Let's just sleep all day. That's my rest. That's not a Sabbath. You still do your own thing. That day is separated unto God. I remember when we grew up, Catholics, and we went in the morning to church. And my dad thought the world has come to an end once the Catholic Church allowed Saturday night services. He thought, what happened to the Pope? Today I would tell him, well, he has no influence on God's word. But so they were totally devastated. Saturday night, so the people can go and play on Sunday. And do you know why it was? In Europe, everybody wanted to play soccer games on Sunday. I was a soccer player, and my dad said, you will never play soccer on Sunday, period. Never. He understood. Because it's not just resting. It's setting that Sabbath away as a holy day, which means separated for a very specific purpose. And the purpose is to spend time with God's people and time with God. How about that? Then we have these people who say, well, I don't go to church. I'm just going to watch on YouTube. Or I'm going to watch live stream. My friend, live stream is good for sick people, those who can't walk, those who have problems, and they can't move. Praise God. That's what we do it for. And some people, they are, I know, because they're writing us cards, they're writing us letters, saying thank you for preaching the word of God, because in our vicinity, we visited every church there is, and nobody opens up the Bible. We get letters like this all the time in cards. So that's fine. But that's not what God had in mind. God had in mind that we come together and celebrate. Get yourselves out of bed. Get going. And for some of you, I would say, get the best dress out of your closet. You look good. It would be wonderful. I just took a few words out of Jeremiah. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 20 to 27. This is what Jeremiah said, and this is what made Nehemiah nervous. Hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. He's in Jerusalem. He's looking at the gates. He said, listen, you enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives, and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day or bring it into by the gates, Jerusalem. You see another problem? And do not carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your fathers. Yet, they did not listen or incline their ear, but stiff-necked their neck that they might not hear and receive instruction. But if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burden by the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then there will enter by the gates of this city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their officials, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall be inhabited forever. When Nehemiah came back, was that the case? Why? Jeremiah said it. It's going to happen. And people shall come from the cities of Judah and places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the Shephelah, from the hill country and from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and frankincense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. That was another thing. People, when Nehemiah was gone, they obliterated. But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy and not to bear a burden and enter by the gates of Jerusalem the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem and shall not be quenched. Boom. What happened? The history books explaining it to us. This is the basic principle how God wants us to rest. And how many of you know as parents, you can tell a child 100 times not to do it. Unless there are consequences, they will do it again. There we go. That's why God said there are going to be consequences because you have to learn the hard way. How many of you are ready for a Hebrew word study? Okay. What is the word Shabbat? I put it up for you. This is how it looks. There are three letters in there, Shin, Beth, and Tau. First, the word Shabbat, or Sabbat, in Shabbat in Hebrew means to cease ongoing activity. Just stop it. Cease. But it also has the idea of a dwelling place in a sense that you settle down and rest in your dwelling place, wherever that dwelling place is. It is used for the seventh day, for the seventh season, all kinds of different ways you can do that. There's also Sabbath year, as you know. And by the way, this is not uncommon for us. In the educational departments or pastoral departments, they say when they're really tired, I need a sabbatical. That comes straight out of Shabbat. I need time off. I need to cease the activities I'm doing because I'm burned out. I'm done. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, let's quickly look at that. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. If you want to underwrite or underline, rested in your Bible. The word rested in Hebrew is Shabbat. Rested, Shabbat. Did God need a rest? I mean, all that creating, you know? No. Just cease from the activity. God said he sanctified that day. The word sanctified in Hebrew is kadosh, and it simply means, well, we translate normally holy, meaning it's consecrated, it's to set apart for a very special, specific purpose. So when God says, you are holy, I'm righteous, 100%. No, you got the wrong idea. How many of you are not 100% holy yet? You're wrong. You're all wrong. You are 100% holy. But not the way you interpret the word. Holy means every born-again believer is separated for a very specific purpose to represent God. That's what it means. You are holy. For a very specific purpose. God did not save you so you can go and claim how good you are. God saved you so you are not under the bondage of sin and not under the bondage of Satan's kingdom. He sets you apart. You are different. We as Christians should live different. Do the people around you know that you're different? They maybe call it weird. Whatever they call you, they call me every name under the sun, it's fine. I want to be separate, not weird, but separate. When people fear, I don't need to fear. When people say, tomorrow the world is coming to an end, I turn you off. We are separated for a very specific purpose, and I have a question for you. Why do you think you sit this morning in here and listen on the live stream? Why are you still here? Your purpose is not fulfilled yet. There's work to be done. Don't you dare give in to fear. I've said it many times from the pulpit as we went for the last 3 years. It was a total disaster what the church leaderships did around the United States and the world. If there was ever a time to shine that we are not moved by fear, that was it. And we blew it. Not here at Victory, but across the board. Because fear is not a motivating factor. As a matter of fact, we were singing this morning, the battle belongs to God. Right. And then we don't live it. Fear blinds us. What if I take a day off? All my job is not going to get done. Yes, it will get done. It will get done. God said, sanctify that day. Make it holy. Separate it apart for the purpose that you and I can have a rest. Wow. Now remember. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? So Adam and Eve But the ultimate creation, got me. It's the last one, the sixth day, correct? There are no coincidences in the Bible. So on the seventh day, God called it a holy day, a separated day, correct? So can you imagine? Here's Adam and Eve, not in a fallen state. They walked in the spiritual as well as in the physical. And God says, come on, Adam and Eve. Let's enjoy what I've created for you. And he shows them everything he has created. And they go, wow. Wow. That's what God meant. He rested. He showed himself and his creative power to Adam and Eve. You would say, why did Adam and Eve ever think that they should listen to somebody else? Well, you have to ask yourselves that question. God has shown us every morning when we get up and you look out there and you see his glorious creation. Wherever you look. And yet we still think, I'm busy. The people are so busy they cannot even look up to the sky. You and I can think, well, you know what? That was for Adam and for Eve. Aren't we their descendants? We need to spend some time with the Lord. Pausing our daily activities, appreciate the work of God, enjoy time and fellowship with God. I don't think I could survive without spending my time in the morning with the Lord. I have to honestly tell you, I don't think I could survive. I don't think I could survive you. Because there are days in my life, let me be honest, I go to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for the people, but they're behaving like they're yours. You take them. I don't know how to handle them. It's just too crazy. The Lord always reminds me that his grace is sufficient. So we know what Shabbat, Sabbath, means. So in summary, the Sabbath is a day to pause, but not just to pause for pause's sake. To pause so that we can have a close walk with Jesus. A close walk with him. And he can show us things which in our busyness we will never see. So there's another word I want to give you this morning. And that's that word rest we just found in God rested, correct? So the word there is shav, or what the Hebrew would say, jav. And if you look at the, well, we don't have it up there, but we have the three letters, shin, vav, and beth. Only one letter has been changed. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 2 and 3, it says, and return, there's that word, shav, to the Lord your God and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore you. There's that word again. This first, it's returning and restoring. I'm going to explain to you how cleverly the Hebrew scholars did that in the original language. It's so clever. Because I will restore your fortunes. Can you see that? I will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has gathered you. He said, I will do all this. And in the New Testament, James, who is the half-brother of Jesus in the physical form, he said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There's one striking similarity between all these verses that talk of returning to God and drawing near to him, and that is that we must make the first step, and then God makes his. Don't you dare miss that. We make the first step. Because the syntax, that means, you know, the arrangements of the words in the original, in Deuteronomy, suggests that returning to the Lord is a separate step from obeying his voice. And the reason is, this is a little tricky. You and I can obey God's voice by giving intellectual consent. Or never move a foot. We don't walk with God. But we say, yeah, we agree with God. Yeah, we're fine. We can dance, we can shout, we can do all kinds of different things, go to church. Don't tell me you want me to do more. It's all intellectual. But God said one day, I want you to worship with me in spirit and truth. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. He's not interested in an intellectual agreement with him. So there's a lot more to it. There's a step which you and I have to take. Like I said, there's an interesting play on words in that Juf and Shabbat. The word is used to return. The return in the original is Shabbat. Does that look familiar? Shabbat. And it comes from that root word. So I quickly quote you one of the Hebrew scholars here, who says, it should come from the same root as the word Shabbat, which means to rest, except that the Masoretes in the 7th century AD put a short A under the shin rather than a long A, making the root word shav, which means to return or restore. So in other words, they give them both meanings. The original Hebrew was written without these long and short vowels. I told you before, because the Hebrew actually doesn't put vowels in it. So then the scribes could put it in to make it more directly to the text and the context. So he said, it is debatable as to whether this word could come from the root word Shabbat or the root word Shav. To believe among Hebrew scholars is that the intent was both in order to have a play on words. Thus, we are to return to our resting upon God and not the arm of the flesh. There you got it. Note, with your heart and soul. Because the passage also says that we are returning to the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy, remember? Return to the Lord your God. How many of you know the word Lord is different than the word God? And why does it say not return to the Lord or return to God? Why? Why is it the Lord your God? Well, in Hebrew, this is Yahweh. That's your Lord. So if you translate the Lord your God, Yahweh, your Elohim. You say, well, who cares? Oh, yeah. Why? Let me give you a little. It's deep, but it's glorious. Do you know that Yahweh is in the feminine form and the word Elohim is in the masculine form? And you say, well, that's all linguistic stuff. I didn't graduate from that stuff. I had window seat when the English teacher wanted to tell me feminine and masculine stuff. I wanted to go and shoot some hoops or something, you know. In Hebrew, it is so important. Why? The feminine aspect represents the caring, nurturing, loving nature of God. The masculine represents the disciplinary, the protective, and the provisional aspect of God. Since the church has never been taught really about these things, we have a total misconception about who God really is. Among Christians, some see God as just a loving, caring Yahweh. God is love, leave me alone, just love everybody. That's only half. That's only half. How many of you have grown up? Hey, I'm a Christian now. Just everybody's going to love me. God is love. I'm love. Everybody loves. And now we have the homosexuals behind the pulpit. Not even preachers know that God is Yahweh and Elohim. So Elohim is an entirely different thing. Have you ever read in the Bible? When there are angels being assigned to do God's judgment, they're always masculine. That's why. They couldn't be on your way because the other one is nurturing, loving, and caring. This is why God said, Adam and Eve, you are going to have children. The child needs a mom and a dad. What does mom do? Nurturing, caring, loving. What does the husband do? Protection, discipline, and provide. Bingo. Why do you have such a mess in the world when one is missing? So if the man leaves, the children are going to be cared by the mama because she is by nature loving, caring. But all the other things, that mom has to now take care of it too. Way too much. God has never intended it that way. Never. The deep-rooted implications to that truth. Isn't that phenomenal? So there are way too many Christians who love only God. That's Elohim. Why? Because he provides for them. I get what I want. But they totally overlook. They say Yahweh, who just wants to love. And then there is a Elohim, who is the balance to it. And when we are commanded to go back to the Lord, to which God are we commanded to go back? The Lord, your God. Yahweh, your Elohim. The Jewish people immediately understood that, and so did Nehemiah. He said, if we want to return back to the Shabbat, we want to do what God tells us to do, we're going to have a God who is Yahweh and a God who is Elohim. And we already know how Elohim works because we were 70 years in captivity. And now you're doing all that crazy things here, and I have none of it. Forget it. With all your heart, with all your soul, you come back. Not your intellect only. Your understanding. And what is the other part of it? Passion. Passion. How many of you are passionate about God? Passion. You go to churches, there are more non-passionate than a horse. A horse needs a bridle. Have you ever ridden one? They have a mind on their own. You and I, we can have a great intellect, understanding everything in the Bible. No, we never do, but I'm far from it. But I get every day excited when I stick my nose in here. Where is our passion? Can you come stoic to church? See, that's one of the problems with social media and YouTube videos. There's only intellect. There's no passion. You know where the passion is worked out? Among believers. You can't make that any other way. That deep passion for God. Love God and love your neighbor. That deep passion. And I said earlier, you and I have to make the first step. Remember that? Let me wrap it up with this. Pretty simple. All of you have heard the story of the prodigal son. For those of you maybe not so familiar with, that's the guy, one of the sons who goes to daddy and said, I want my portion of the inheritance. And the father reluctantly gives it to him. And obviously the son, when they get the inheritance early, they always squander everything. Ever experienced that? They never know how to handle it. So here goes the son and he spends it. And not in a good lifestyle. He spends it all. Eventually, he ends up in Iowa in a hog confinement. So the Bible says. I just interpreted for you. Well, he sees that the hogs, And I are very well fed. But he is not. Can you imagine the guy being a hog confinement and eating what the pig's going to get? That's exactly what happened. One day he said, enough of that. Before the pigs eat me, I got to go back home to my father. So he makes his journey. He said, I don't want to be a son anymore. If that's what God wants, what my father wants, I'm happy with being just a servant. Just let me go home. I'm out of there. I have nothing to do with that. So he makes the first step. And what's the first step? It's going back home. You, my first step is not going deeper into the world. It's going back home where we belong to God. So he goes, and when he sees far away, that's a state, and that come running towards him. This is what James meant when he said, you make the step and walk towards God, and God will draw near to you. Before he was even home, the Father came and embraced him. That's what Shabbat really means. The Shabbat is really this. Finding rest. That son had no rest out in the world until he was home. No rest. Does that teach you a lesson? All the money in the world, all the inheritance, everything doesn't give us rest. It gives us opportunities, but the rest that comes when we come to the Father, back home. So you and I know why Nehemiah was so tough. He wanted to make sure that they are not going further away from God. He recognized the very rest they need, they walked away from it. And he said, I have none of it. I make sure that this is not going to happen. What if we do the same thing? Come away from this busyness. Listen, when the father saw his son finally learning that the father always wanted to have him, there was a joyful celebration, wasn't it? Right. Yep. Hey, get the father calf. Let's have a party. What about us? Are you ready for a party? Mm-hmm. Only if you make your way to the Lord, where you get the rest. And I think some of us need to learn. And I wish that we don't have to learn it the hard way. I wish that we could learn it from the scriptures. Intellectually, yes, but put your passion in there. Walk towards the Lord. He will meet you halfway. He will. And you will find rest. There is no rest for the soul unless we're walking towards God. And I always say, it is easy for you and me to believe I don't need it because Satan is whispering. But I tell you what, the Father's desire is that we come home. The Shabbat, the Sabbath, is simply a symbolism of that rest we need. We take that day, whatever day, and we say, Lord, I need to rest. He said, yes. And he will meet you right there. I simply wrote down at the back, he is back to have a walk with God. That's a picture of it all. With God experiencing Shabbat, rest, and restoration all at once. This is found in these two Hebrew words. And that's what that day is all about. Can we have a walk with God? Remember the old song? And he walks with me and he talks with me. We sing it and say, but then I went my way. No, that's not the way the song goes. And Jesus said, this is a foretaste of paradise. It's a foretaste when we are in him. My prayer is that all of you are experiencing that. I don't know where you are, what you do. This is between you and God. But I tell you what, my friend, if you take God's word serious, don't play any games. He's not playing games. God never plays games. but he wants you to be back with him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Nehemiah has taught us a lot over the weeks and months. What a man of conviction. A man of passion. A man of great intellect. But more than all this, Lord, a man who loves you and loves your word. And he took the necessary steps so that his brothers and sisters could experience the same. Lord, we have never been an island in this world. And we don't want to do just things for us. But we look around us. And when we take the lead or make those steps, so many others will follow. Because they can watch us. They can see that your hand is guiding. Your hand is blessing. Your hand is protecting. And the love of God flows to us. What a different world we would live in if we all could live like this, Lord, having our Sabbath rest. And Lord, I'm just asking you this morning to speak to every individual heart, because you're such a faithful God that we all can come with our whole being in spirit and in truth and worship you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say,